This is the Power 5 with Cal Lee and Warren Shaw.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Power 5, Cal Lee, Warren Shaw. We discussed the top five teams in the NBA. Exciting NBA basketball during the holiday season. We get to break down the teams that I'm sure you are keeping your eye on who should be the best in the association. Now, our list might not match up with your list, but that's why we do it, because we love the conversation. And in to discuss our top five teams, the Power Five teams rolling in the association, you know I got to do it with my right-hand man, 50 Grand NBA aficionado, Dime Mag contributor, former Dime Mag contributor, but writer of one of the illest websites, www.shawsports.net, Big Kahuna, PNC, my brother from another mother, Mr. Warren Shaw, repping out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. What's good, man?
I'm chilling, man, and it's great to be here. Salute to all the fans, listeners of the May Baseline. This Power 5 is going to be lit, as the kids say, and got a lot of other news from around the association as well that we'll get it right into.
Most definitely, man. It's interesting because what we try to incorporate when we discuss the Power 5 is, you know, what are the five strongest teams? But again, as we've said before, you know, an argument can be made that through the course of this season, there's going to be some fluctuation. We know who probably and most likely will be the three strongest teams. But, you know, over the last few weeks, y'all, we have seen, you know, teams in the 4-5 come up, come down. And we like that because we want there to be parity. We want there to be conversation as we start getting down past, you know, the All-Star break as far as our, you know, our perspective goes about which of any of these teams are really going to make a run against the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who clearly are the class of the NBA over the last two plus seasons. And so to me, as we continue to look at these rosters, as we continue to look at what these teams are doing through the course of the regular season, everyone says it's a marathon and not a sprint, but somewhere within that race, you have to find that team's pace, because I think that pace is going to dictate how they're going to perform in the home stretch.
Well, I think that's a great point. You're looking at the entire landscape of the NBA in general. You know, some teams get off to hotter starts. Some teams, you know, start to figure things out late. But I think you always want to be starting to play your best basketball as you're heading into April, you know, getting into the playoffs. So obviously you need to do some groundwork to make sure you get into the playoffs, but you want to be peaking at that time. And, you know, you can always wonder with certain teams, okay, are they peaking too early? You know, and, you know, are they really going to be as good as they may have started off with? But, you know, some other teams, and some that we'll even get into in this discussion as well too, have started off roughly and now maybe have started to turn the corner a little bit. And that's what we want to see. We want to see these teams, you know, gradually increase and gradually get better. And there's room for improvement from everywhere, even at the top with the Warriors, the Spurs, the Cavs, those teams as well too. Things that they're working on right now is so that they can fine tune and be the powerhouses that they want to be and make a run at the NBA champion.
I wholeheartedly agree. And Shaw, that just kind of leads us right into our who's hot and who's not. And these are teams that while they are not considered Power 5, because really Power 5 is just saying you're doing so much better than the other 25 teams in the NBA, but we want to acknowledge the teams that are on the come up, teams that are certainly putting in that work, that are they're making us have to have that conversation. You know, are they clearly a team that has the capabilities, the capacity to be considered a top echelon team in the NBA? And so when you look at what the teams have been doing over the last couple of weeks, two teams that stand out to me more than anything that's on the who's hot list, the Boston Celtics and, yes, my sleeper team, the Washington Wizards.
Well, congratulations. You know, the Wizards have
kudos.
They finally have awoken from their deep sleep to begin the year. And I think, you know,
comatose.
But Scott Brooks has figured out a rotation that seems to work for them. Beal has been relatively healthy the entire season. Wall, you know, had some, you know, knee issues again in the preseason. All that seems to be behind them. And again, the main thing is just understanding what that rotation is going to be on a regular basis. Markieff Morris has been great for them at the power forward position. Otto Porter has seemed to take another step in his development at the small forward position as well, too. The bench is a little, still a little awry to me, because again, although the rotation seems to be fine, production is not always coming from that area. But nevertheless, they are very much starter heavy, and Gortat has been great as well too. And I think, you know, Scott Brooks has done a great job in getting this thing turned around a little bit.
Yeah, I got to tell you, again, I don't question this team together that they can make a run, especially in this Eastern Conference. There's a lot of mediocrity there, and when you have the continuity of Wall and Beal, minus the fact that if these are two guys that really can't get along and don't have the potential to get along, that it, I think it'll show itself in a division where, look, the Charlotte Hornets, as we're doing this podcast, or as we're doing this segment, they're 16 and 13, bro. So they are definitely in the conversation that they can make this run. And I don't think we were expecting the Atlanta Hawks to fall off as badly as they have been, although there's still enough time for them to make up ground and essentially still be the top team in the Southeastern Conference. So again, I feel really confident. I think what's going to be interesting, Shaw, when you look at this situation, is will the Wizards do enough to start throwing out that talk or that convo about making a run to get Boogie Cousins? If this is a basketball team that has that potential to really make a playoff push, can they make a run to get somebody like that? Because I think that's what it comes down to. If they're not confident in Gortat, if they're okay with Markieff, you know, at some particular point, do they have some pieces they could throw out there to get that dude when they're in a position to do it, especially since there's been so much rumors about Boogie Cousins, if the Sacramento Kings are not going to continue to play as good as they played over the last two games?
Well, I don't know about that. I think with Washington, they are in a really strange position. You know, not exactly sure of their picks and you know what they have to offer in that. But their talent that they have really would have to be traded in essence to get Cousins, unless you got another team involved. So Sacramento is not taking back Gortat, not taking back Otto Porter or Markieff Morris.
Nobody wants the Polish hammer.
No, not as a building block, you know what I mean, and not for Cousins. So they would definitely be happy to be talking about Wall or Beal in any discussions for DMC. And that just, again, it's counterproductive. You just take one step forward and then you go one step back one way or the other. So I don't see how they would be able to keep Wall, Beal, and then get Cousins with the peripheral pieces that they have on their roster currently.
Oh, well, listen, man, it's just wishful thinking.
You want to hook him up. I know that.
I know that. I just feel like something special can happen finally for Washington, D.C., because I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen in the White House for the next 4 years. So let's go ahead. Let's go. Oh, I know that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have went there. Power five, baby. That's how we do. All right. Now, who's on the who's not list, Shaw? I got to tell you, it's really surprising when we look at teams like the Portland Trailblazers, the Detroit Pistons, and the Chicago Bulls. Listen, we gave the Chicago Bulls a lot of credit in the early part of this season. We didn't expect this team to come out and play so competitively well, but they have really fallen off. And the Portland Trailblazers, I mean, I'm really surprised at how badly this team has struggled. And I think more so it points to Damian Lillard. While Damian Lillard is still getting a lot of praise, so to speak, as far as, you know, his competitiveness, his play, I don't think it's translating to this team collectively winning the kind of basketball games that they should be winning, given the fact that they have all of the necessary pieces to be a competitive basketball team. What's the problem right now in Portland and Chicago, respectively?
Defense. They don't play any of it. They are last in defensive rating. They are one of the worst teams in rebounding as well, too. Again, offensively, they're fine. You know, Lillard and McCollum, they've done a great job. You look across the statistical numbers there. You know, they're top 10 in pretty much every offensive category out there, or maybe just outside the top 10. But they are really struggling to keep teams off the glass. And then they're really struggling again just to defend in general. So they give up, you know, they're 26 in offensive rebounding, you know, for the opponent. So that means they're giving up a bunch of second chance points, and teams are just out rebounding them, and they don't have a chance to get second chance points themselves. It's like they shoot those threes, and that creates a lot of long rebounds and rebounds for the opposition, where they're not having a lot of people be going there and crash. And Plumlee, again, he's not a big offensive rebounder. They don't have anybody who's really helping them on that side of the basketball. But to me, again, they are just abysmal defensively. And that's why you're starting to hear, so you talk about trade rumors, starting to hear them, you know, poke around the availability of a guy like Nerlens Noel. Could he come in there, help them with rebound, help them with shot blocking and rim protection? Because the guy that I was talking about when we mentioned the Blazers a little bit earlier in the season is like, well, maybe the defense will get better when Festus Ezeli comes back. We know Ezeli is going to be out
exactly
for the entire season.
Yep.
So, you know, unfortunately for Portland, that's something that they are really going to be struggling with, I think, until they can find a way to address the middle. But it is also some of their wing guys, too. They need to be able to defend better, and Lillard included. Stop letting guys get past you. It's an effort thing. But he's so focused on scoring and, you know, and getting his other guys involved. I just think defense is taking a back seat in Portland.
All right. And finally, Shaw, a team that, listen, I know you know me. I give my praises, but I also need to whip out the whipping stick when this team isn't doing and playing up to their expectations. The Detroit Pistons. This is a playoff basketball team. In certain spots in the first quarter of the season, they've looked very impressive. And recently, they have looked so unimpressive to the point where even when teams announce that they have players only meetings, your coach still comes out and rakes you over the coals over having a players only meeting and still getting blown out by 40 points. I really can't make sense of what's going on with the Detroit Pistons, but I will say this much, and I'm not trying to say that this is a conspiracy theory or nothing. I will say though, that the way that this team is playing, I think is an abstract reflection of when Reggie Jackson has come back to the fold and Van Gundy's been trying to figure out a way to implement him and to run that offense. And I just don't see where it's clicking, man.
Well, you know, one of the things that's weird about this Pistons team, because I think Van Gundy teams are usually very good offensively and they're very good defensively. You know, does that always equate to wins and them, you know, making a great run at things? No. But nevertheless, he has a mantra in place. And I think those things have fallen a little bit short from this year. Defensively, they've been okay, but they've struggled to score. And maybe that's because Reggie was out to miss the first, you know, whatever it was, 15 games. And now he's back and still working his way back into things a little bit. But, you know, Van Gundy teams don't struggle from the three-point line. And this team is 24th in three-point percentage right now. So all these things, these little nuances that we're not necessarily used to, have come into play. And the same thing, he will be we always knew this. You know, he's very Thibodeau-esque or Pop-esque, if you will, in terms he'll pull all five guys if he needs to, if he doesn't like what he's seeing out there. And we've seen that already a couple times. And how you said he railed his guys for their quote-unquote players-only meeting, said it was BS, it doesn't mean anything. But he always holds himself accountable. And that's what I do like about SVG. He's never, like, hiding from the limelight. He's like, listen, we all got to do better, including me, especially me.
Definitely.
And we'll see if it ends up happening, man. But they are definitely struggling.
Definitely, definitely struggling. Well, for teams for the guys that we know that aren't struggling and going through the struggles, it's our Power Five teams. These are the top five teams that are running things here in the association. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw. Let's get right into it. Here goes our Power Five.
Number five.
All right, at the number five position, what more can be said? They keep rolling. They are the North. It's Jurassic, and that's how they play, the Toronto Raptors. They stay in at the number five position, Shaw. What more can be said about the combination of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan? They are doing damage in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely. Again, DeRozan with that extra leap, if you will, this year. Struggled in the middle part. I don't want to say struggled, but probably tailed off a little bit from his 30-point-per-game clip that he was off for the first maybe 10 games or so. Then struggled. Now he's back up, you know, getting those 30 points per game and hitting fadeaways and doing the whole nine. Terrence Ross has been great for them off the bench as well, too. Corey Joseph off the bench. Valanciunas seems to be coming back around, too, and getting double-doubles and rebounding. And again, we already know what Lowry brings. This is a great basketball team. And hey, man, I got to apologize, you know, thinking that the Celtics would be able to catch them in the Atlantic. This team is definitely here to stay as a top two or three team in the East.
Their best scorer in the NBA. I mean, how can you not knock the game of D-Ro? I mean, D-Ro is just doing damage right now. And listen, man, if this team continues to exceed the kind of expectations that we have, you're going to have to throw him in that conversation of an MVP. But nobody's talking about the kind of season that Kyle Lowry is having just because of how big a jump DeMar DeRozan has had. And that just bodes well. When you have a backcourt combination that these two guys have, it almost really kind of puts everything else kind of under the radar. And again, we keep talking about the job that Dwayne Casey has. They're going to have a tough stretch of games. They're going to be playing against a few West Coast teams in the upcoming week or so. But I got to say, with confidence, this is a basketball team that should be legitimately talked about as really the only team right now that might be able to try and run the Cavaliers more than a four-game series in the playoffs.
And they still don't have a power forward.
And they still don't have a power forward. We'll see how that plays out. All right, the number four team in the association. Man, we thought that this was a pipe dream. We thought that this was send them up to outer space and then they'll just fall right off. Gravity will pull them back. But the Houston Rockets, boy, they're taking off and they're taking off lovely. And D'Antoni and Harden, what more can be said? This dynamic duo has got these teams as one of the top five.
Yeah, and again, the thing that has impressed me the most is that they're not just bleeding points. They're 16th in defensive rating. You know, Portland wishes they could be even half as that good, because then, you know, they would definitely have some more wins on their docket. But, you know, offensively, we knew this team would be a juggernaut. I think we've talked a lot about Harden, and now you're starting to see people kind of shift gears to what Patrick Beverley's been able to do since coming back from his injury. And then also the emergence of Eric Gordon. And again, I know we've talked a lot about awards already this season, but he's now shifting his and making his way to try to be the sixth man of the year. Again, multiple 20-point games off the bench, and just playing at an immense clip, just playing the best basketball, I think, of his career in a role that really suits him. So kudos to D'Antoni and what the Rockets have been able to do.
I mean, a heady move by Mike D'Antoni, and maybe in many respects, people would have thought that was a foolish move. But listen, man, he knows his personnel. He knows his player. You give him the power, and he may actually be able to put something magical together. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing with this Houston Rockets basketball team.
Number three.
Third best team in the NBA. Steady as she goes, especially fresh off of the retirement jersey for Tim Duncan. It's fundamentally sound to know that the San Antonio Spurs will always be in the conversation of our Power Five at the three position.
You're right. And, you know, for me, what I've noticed is they're starting to get more production out of Pau Gasol at that center position. You know, a couple double-doubles in the last week, and, you know, really seem to be kind of fitting in. Manu Ginobili had his best game of the season thus far as well, too. Had a 17-point performance off the bench. And again, we just know what the Spurs team is. Everyone's going to contribute. Everyone's going to do their job. And there will be ebbs and flows in terms of where that production comes from, but they will still always produce as a team with Kawhi kind of manning the ship, if you will. Again, just a phenomenal job by the Spurs as always, and they were the ones who stopped the Rockets' win streak just the other day too. So you know the San Antonio team is always going to be for real.
Yeah, my only concern, Shaw, is their point guard position with Tony Parker. He's still not the Tony Parker that I think that they're going to need to help them solidify themselves as a legit team to make a run against the Golden State Warriors and or maybe the Los Angeles Clippers, if, you know, given their status and their situation and stuff like that. I mean, to me, if Tony Parker can revitalize part of what he's capable of doing, which I don't realistically see that taking place, if he is able to do that, then the Spurs can be considered legit. If not, it falls on the shoulders of the partnership between LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. So it'll be very interesting to see how Greg Popovich maneuvers this real eclectic group of guys, but still, steady as they go, they're still doing their thing, and they still have to be taken seriously as a legitimate team in the NBA.
Number two.
Second best team. What more can be said? The Cleveland Cavaliers. Even when they decide to rest all of their three top players, Tyronn Lue still has a way of making this team they earn enough equity for them to go out there and still beat teams down and just basically say there is nobody in the Eastern Conference that can handle us for right now. So y'all just keep talking about what's going on over there in the Western Conference. Cleveland Cavaliers at the number two spot.
Just running through the East and, you know, kicking ass and taking names, and it's been easy for them, I think. You know, a little rough patch when they lost three straight. But, you know, since then, everything has been fine for Cleveland, and LeBron and Kyrie really handling things. And they have some adversity. You know, Love is battling a little knee injury. We talked about Anderson being done for the year, but now J.R. Smith is going to be out indefinitely with a broken right thumb. So that's going to require some surgery. We'll see what happens with that if he does come back, when he comes back, the timetable-wise. But having Kyrie and LeBron to lean on, I guess, isn't, you know, too hard. And we saw them really kind of dominate the other night, and, you know, in two games this past week against the Milwaukee Bucks, they just did work, and that's why they are, you know, two of the elite players in the NBA.
Well, I think a couple of key things, too, is that they've got their veteran guys in Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye, and they have stepped up and have really filled in the roles for the missing J.R. Smith and for Kevin Love. I think it'll be interesting to see how much confidence Tyronn Lue has on Kay Felder. This is still a basketball team that's playing without a backup point guard or a true backup point guard, and even though they're getting some spot minutes from guys like Jordan McRae and things of that nature, I still think that's something that might come back to haunt them, because let's not forget Kyrie Irving, while still looking very strong and looking like he's completely healthy, is still fresh from that dislocated knee situation. I think part of it was Tyronn's little ability to regulate the minutes. And so at some point, they're going to have to address this. I wouldn't be surprised if David Griffin tries to make a move sometime around the trade deadline to see if he can get some quality veteran type point guard, somebody similar to like a Matthew Dellavedova, not Matthew Dellavedova like, but someone who can come in and and play those Matthew Dellavedova minutes so that he does not fear something that may happen like what you're seeing right now with the Kevin Love and the J.R. Smith going down to injury at crucial points during that stretch run that they need to make to position themselves to be the best team in the Eastern Conference to get back to the finals.
Number 1.
Finally, Shaw, the best team, without question. We talk about it. They've held it down for now 3 weeks in a row. That team from the city, you know how they roll. Kick it like Draymond Green, the Golden State Warriors.
Well, you know, the thing that we'll continue with the theme here in terms of, you know, talking about their offense and their defense, second in defensive rating. We're worried about this Warriors team being able to defend and you know, really stop some guys out there. Again, they don't have rim protection. But Durant, you know, averaging, I think, a career high in terms of blocks per game. The team is first in blocks per game, on the NBA season, averaging 6.4. They're first in steals at 9.4. While they play at a ridiculous pace, they play at a breakneck speed, they shoot threes, they hit twos, they hit floaters, they hit jumpers. The only thing they don't really do is post up, but they still score in the paint because they're getting by guys as well, too, and driving. Draymond Green has been, again, obviously everything that you could expect him to be, having a potential all-star season as well. Klay Thompson, as people already alluded to, has turned things around from his early struggles. So this is a great, great basketball team, and they did not take time to gel. They didn't have that rough patch that everyone was maybe hoping that they would. And again, you just kind of have to wait and see what happens if anybody can actually slow them down.
The most offensively efficient and dangerous basketball team in the NBA. And let me say this, if this team continues to trend the way that they're trending, and I don't know the circumstances by what will happen to them when they get into the playoffs, if they can run through teams or whatever the case may be, but we may have to start looking at this team from a historical perspective, just this season alone and what this Golden State Warriors team is doing. And it can't be ignored. People want to say it really shouldn't be considered a factor because it's considered a super team. Even super teams have to figure out a way to play when you have this much talent and this much ego. And this is where you have to give credit to a guy like Steve Kerr, because given the circumstances, this is supposed to be, quote unquote, an accident waiting to happen. We've seen this happen before when LeBron James was with the Miami Heat. We've seen this happen before when LeBron James is with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it took them a year or two before it finally came together. The fact that they're figuring out a way to do this is telling me how badly all of these guys want this. Even the bench players, guys like JaVale McGee, who no longer wants to be considered Shaq and the Fool nominee every single year. I've been saying this, do not be surprised if this guy starts really filling in those minutes. And when you get guys like a JaVale McGee contributing for this basketball team, that just adds on to what we've been saying all along. Don't let this team figure it out, because if they do, it will be a serious, when JaVale McGee can figure things out in a system for the Golden State Warriors, I don't want to hear any excuses from nobody. No.
But it's like what Adam Joseph said on our show. I mean, you really start, you know, kind of wetting yourself. So if you're, you know, with some of these 29 other teams in the NBA, because, you know, they still have room for improvement. And now, you know, they're having some of their bench and rotation guys really, really start to contribute, which is something that every team wants. You know, something that I watched way, way back in the day, you know, watching those early Bulls teams, you know, when Phil Jackson would develop, you know, the Will Perdues and the Judd Buchlers and things like that, so that those guys would be ready to contribute when it came to playoff time. And I think that's what you're seeing with this Warriors team. Everybody is a contributor, from Ian Clark to McCall to McGee to Zaza. They all, McAdoo, everybody knows their role, and they can all go in there and plug and play at any point in the season.
Well, there you have it. That's our Power Five. Golden State Warriors still on top. Toronto Raptors still rounding out the bottom of the five. And as always, be sure to get at my man Shaw at Shaw Sports NBA, or get at me at Game Face Lee. Our show, the Baseline NBA Podcast, every single week. Get the Twitter handle at NBA Baseline, available on Instagram, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Microsoft TuneIn, available on the Roku channel, Google Music, Player FM. You name it, we're on it. Get down with us. Be sure to hit us up. Let us know what you think about our top five. Is there anybody that you think is deserving to be in there? Challenge us. We'd love to have the conversation. For the Baseline, Cal Lee, Warren Shaw, this is the Power Five. You guys have a happy holidays, and we'll catch up with you next week.